that a young man came in at the end of class, pulling a prank. He was one of your friends, but you wouldn't tell him who it was. He is not one of my friends, I said, my face flushing. I pictured the note stuck under the desk.
Then who was it?
Why wouldn't I just tell him? I owed Caden nothing. Nothing at all. It's not my place to say. Mr. Ortega frowned.
I'm very disappointed. After school detention for 2 weeks. I'll shorten it to one, if you change your mind about coming clean and taking responsibility for your actions.
But that'll be all. What's wrong? Isabel asked me at lunch. All I wanted to do was tell her what had happened. It was all I could think about. But I didn't know how she'd react. What would I even say? I imagined how our conversation would go. Remember that pen pal I told you about in chemistry? It's your ex. I've been exchanging letters with your ex.
The one you hate?
Yes. The one you broke up with because he hated me and I hated him. The one I still hate. Apparently, we're okay on paper. Perfect, actually. So maybe I'll date him through letters the rest of our lives. Cool?
Of course it's cool. I mean, I've made out with him and talked to him for hours on end, for months on end, but hey, he's all yours now.
No, that wasn't how it would go at all. It would be better to have this delicate conversation off school grounds, just in case I did cry, or if she punched me, or something equally as dramatic.
Can we talk later? I asked Isabel. After school? I need to tell you something.
Her brown eyes grew concerned.
That sounds so cryptic. Are you okay?
Later. I'll tell you later.
She squeezed my hand.
Okay.
Later.
Chapter 23.
The already long day ended an hour later than usual because of detention. Ashley looked over at me as she pulled into our driveway.
You're mopey today.
Detention isn't a big deal. I was in there like every other month. It's a great time to get homework done. I didn't want to tell her this had nothing to do with detention and everything to do with my letter-writing world being shattered.
Good idea, I muttered.
Guess who asked me out? Ashley asked brightly. Like I wanted to hear about her or anyone's love life at the moment.
Who?
Mark, the boy who saw the food in my teeth. Apparently I've already made it through the first two stages. Thank goodness.
He told you that?
I glanced at my sister. He said, Ashley, first I found you mysterious, then I found you intriguing, and then, when that food was on your tooth, I found you adorably funny. So now I can ask you out?
Ashley grinned.
Yes, that is basically what he said.
How?
By asking me out. I grabbed my backpack and climbed out of the car. It probably went more like this.
Huh, that girl is cute. I should go out with her, because guys don't care about anything else. They don't care about personality or intrigue.
I could hear the bitterness in my voice, but I didn't try to stop it.
Wow. Ashley raised her eyebrows at me.
Jaded?
Yes, I've unlocked that achievement. Leveled up.
What?
Nothing.
I headed for my room, needing some time to unwind on my guitar before I called Isabel. I reached my bedroom. I should have known something was wrong when the door was wide open, or when my guitar case was only halfway under my bed. I should have, but I didn't. I pulled the case out, very calm. The latches were undone, but I figured I'd just left them undone the night before. I flipped open the lid. The first thing I saw were all the strings loose, a couple broken completely. That didn't have me panicking, just a little angry. Strings were easy to replace. But then I saw the jagged line across the neck of the guitar, close to the body.
No. No, no, no.
I pulled it out, and only the neck came. The end as spiked as a rake. The rest stayed in the case, completely severed. My face drained of all feeling.
No! Mom!
My mother arrived at my door, breathless.
What? What's wrong? Are you okay?
I held up the bodiless neck for her to see. Her expression went from panicked to sympathetic.
Oh, no. What happened? What do you mean, what happened?
I exploded, feeling tears threaten.
Jonah happened. I've asked you a million times to keep him out of my room.
Mom frowned.
Jonah did that? Who else? I certainly didn't do it.
Don't jump to conclusions.
I don't have to jump to anything. I'm holding the conclusion.
I threw the broken piece into the case and sank onto my bed face first.
Oh, honey, we'll figure something out. What?
I said, my voice muffled by the mattress.
You can't afford to buy me a new guitar. This one took me 6 months to earn. What's left to figure out?
Is it repairable?
It's splintered. It's not a clean break.
The mattress sank down as my mom sat next to me. She rubbed my back. I shrugged her hand off. She got the hint.
I'm sorry, Lil. You can have first dibs on all the fares, she said softly.
I'll help you earn it back. I lifted my head, brushing the tears away from my eyes.
Why should I have to earn it back? I said. Shouldn't Jonah be working the fares to buy me a new one?
He's 7.
Old enough to know better.
Honey.
Mom, can you leave? I want to be alone.
Okay. I didn't say anything, and she stood and left my room. I heard her call for Jonah as she shut my door. Then they had a conversation in the hall. I listened in, my face pressed back into the mattress.
Jonah, did you break your sister's guitar?
What?
No.
Did you go in her room and break her guitar?
No, I didn't.
Right. Give him the chance to say no, Mom. Good call. She should have just led with, I know you broke her guitar. But whatever, it didn't matter. It was broken. Jonah admitting it wouldn't change that fact.
There was a rattling on my handle followed by my mom saying, leave her be for now. You can talk to her later.
Mom must have told everyone to leave me be, because no one bugged me for the rest of the evening. Not a single person. After years of trying to get some alone time, I finally had it. I pulled my notebook out and stared at the song I had started. I couldn't write that song right now. It was about him. About Cade. I shuddered. I could only write one song about Cade. I turned to a fresh page and positioned my pencil. You claim you want to be heard, so you write your hollow words. You fill your life with deception, because it's all about perception. The world sees you one way, and they listen to all you say. You crave their attention to feed your addiction. You have two sides, two faces. You're trying to hide in two places. And I hate you, Cade, because you're the biggest jerk in the world, and you should go away forever and stop writing these stupid letters where you pretend to be nice and misunderstood.
Ugh.
Even my angry Cade-inspired songs were better than anything I'd written before him. I scratched two deep lines in an X across the words, then I flipped to the back and crossed out all my suspects. Why couldn't it have been you? I thought, as I X'd out Lucas's name. I reached up, ripped down the newspaper clipping from my wall, and crumpled it into a tight ball. Even if I still could finish any song, I wouldn't be able to write the guitar part for it. And there was no way I was using a song that had anything to do with Cade. I threw the paper across the room. I was being dramatic, but for once, I felt like I was justified. Everything had gone wrong. I dug my phone out of my pocket and called Isabel.
Hey, Lil, she answered.
Hey.
I thought I'd kept the tears out of my voice, but when she added, what's wrong? I realized I hadn't.
Jonah destroyed my guitar.
Oh, no. How?
I don't know. He's denying it, but it's broken. Completely broken.
I'm so sorry, Isabel said softly. I know how much you loved your guitar, how hard you worked to buy it.
Yeah.
Your mom will probably replace it, right?
She can't afford that, Iz. She couldn't even afford a spool of thread for me before payday.
Tears came to my eyes again.
This is not a spool of thread.
That totally sucks.
I know.
Aw, Lil, it'll be okay.
It's just, this was my thing, you know?
The tears fell down my cheeks now, and I couldn't stop them. It was the one thing I was really good at. The one thing that brought me perfect peace and happiness. I don't need much, but I need this. I wondered if I was only talking about my guitar.
Then you'll find a way to get another one, Isabel said, with determination. It might take some time, but you'll do it.
I knew she was right.
Yeah.
If I could, I'd buy you one.
I smiled through my tears. I wouldn't accept something like that from you, Iz.
I know.
I sniffled and wiped my nose on my sleeve.
So was that the thing you wanted to tell me at lunch?
Isabel asked after a moment.
I paused and realized I wanted to have this conversation in person.
Are you busy? I asked. Can I come over?
Of course you can.
Okay, I'll tell you when I get there. I hung up, gathered the letters from Cade, and headed for the door. Chapter 24. I was staring at Einstein on Isabel's ceiling because I couldn't look at her. I'd rather have Einstein judge me.
I have to tell you something.
Okay.
Isabel moved to her desk chair.
Remember how I was exchanging letters with someone in chemistry? I said to Einstein.
Yes, that girl.
Girl? It had been so long since I'd thought my pen pal was a girl, but it took me a while to remember that I had it first.
No, I mean, yes, but I found out she wasn't a girl.
How'd you find that out?
He said something about being a guy in one of the letters.
Sorry, I thought I told you.
It's okay.
I waited for a moment. Waited for her to give a little excited squeal or happy hum. Something that would indicate that she thought this was a good thing. My pen pal being a guy. But she didn't. She was silent. Probably because I seemed so distraught. I sat up then to face her. Her expression was as serious as mine.
Remember years ago when you gave up a boy because he was coming between us? I asked in a rush.
She nodded.
You mean Cade?
Yes.
She laughed a little.
Yes, of course I remember.
She paused and added, I don't want you to think that you were the only reason Cade and I broke up. The two of you both complained about each other to me all the time, and I got tired of it. But Cade and I wouldn't have worked even if you weren't in the picture.
I nodded, then blurted, Cade is my pen pal.
Isabel didn't answer.
Cade Jennings? I repeated for effect, barely believing the words myself. He's the one who's been writing to me in chemistry.
I pulled my shoulder bag, which I'd flung onto her bed when I first walked in, onto my lap. Then I dug out all the letters and held them out to Isabel. But my best friend didn't move to retrieve them.
And I'm going to stop writing him. Now, I said. I didn't write him today, even though he wrote me. I'll never write him again.
She still said nothing, and I noticed something missing from her expression.
Surprise.
That's when it hit me.
Isabel knew.
I told her I had a pen pal, and Cade was in her chemistry class writing letters without the tiniest bit of discretion. And she knew.
Isabel was observant like that.
I stood, shoving the letters back into my bag.
Why didn't you tell me? I demanded.
Because you hate him, and you seemed so excited about the writing.
How long have you known?
Not very long, I swear.
Why didn't you tell me?
It felt like being slapped in the face today when I saw him at that desk. A little warning would have been nice.
Isabel held up her hands.
I know. I'd hoped after a while that his letters would show you that he wasn't someone you wanted to continue writing to, because you hate him.
I frowned.
I do hate him.
But his letters are different.
Isabel's expression went a degree darker.
Wait, you like him?
Because of his letters?
My heart jumped.
No, I don't.
What?
Not at all.
Isabel nodded, looking relieved.
You like David, right?
David, he's fine.
Nice,
Isabel sighed.
You two would be perfect for each other if you'd both give it a chance.
Why are you insistent on getting me and David together? I asked, putting my hands on my hips.
Isabel shrugged, but her expression said it all.
I thought he was a better match for you.
Better than who? I asked.
The alternative?
Cade?
Yes!
The air seemed to fly out of me and I was rendered silent.
She was jealous.
She didn't want me to know I was writing to Cade, because she was jealous. Even though she and Cade had dated 2 years ago, and she didn't like him anymore, she was still jealous.
"I'm sorry," she said again, her voice softer. "But it shouldn't matter. You wouldn't ever like Cade, would you? It would be too awkward, considering the whole history. I mean, I gave him up for you 2 years ago."
"But you didn't give him up for me. You just said that."
She looked at the floor, then back up quickly, but not before I knew the truth. She had broken up with him because of me, because I couldn't get along with him. I always suspected that, but she'd always contradicted me. And now I knew for sure.
"Well, I won't stand in your way anymore," I snapped. "Go get him back."
She gasped. "I'm with Gabriel now. I don't want him back."
"You just don't want me to have him."
"You said you didn't want him."
"I don't."
What was wrong with me?
"I need to go." I headed for her door.
"Lily, wait."
"I can't do this right now."
"We'll get through this, right?"
"Yes," I answered right away. "Just not right now."
It was only 8:30 at night, but I was already in bed, staring at my own ceiling now. There were no judging eyes up there, only a blank wall, but I felt just as bad. I sighed. Why was I so mad at Isabel? I knew one reason, because she'd been lying to me. On purpose. That hurt. Would I ever believe her again? But was it more than the lost trust that was bothering me? Maybe, just maybe, I'd wanted her to say it was okay for me to like Cade. Not that I did, at all. But in a sense, I could understand Isabel's possessiveness. 2 years ago, I'd driven her and Cade apart. I wasn't a good friend. The sounds of the house around me were loud. My brother's getting ready for bed in the bathroom next door. My mom yelling to make sure they brushed for 2 minutes. Ashley laughing on the phone in the hall. My father asking her to keep it down. I forced my eyes closed. Listened to the noise of my family instead of the noise in my head. Tomorrow would be better than this day had been. It had to be.
Chapter 25.
Do you know how disappointing it is to pull out a note, expecting a letter from someone, only to see your own handwriting staring back at you? It sucks. You must be sick, which I'm sure is not very good for you, but think about where that left me. I'm sorry you're sick. I hope you get better soon. Okay, so, that looks like a deformed turtle or something, but it was meant to be a bowl of soup. That thing that looks like the turtle's head is a spoon. Do you see it now? No? I won't attempt to draw again. I apologize for making you suffer through that, and when you're just recovering from being sick. Okay, quiz. What music do you listen to when you're sick? Is it different than, or the same as, your everyday music? I listen to really sappy music when I'm sick. I don't know why, because I don't like that music when I'm healthy. Maybe it helps me wallow a little bit more. We need to think of some sappy song lyrics for our fans to listen to when they're sick. Something like, "You thought I was going to make up some song lyrics, didn't you? I learned my lesson. I'm not." How's home life? I closed my eyes. I would not write back. I would not. The letters were from Cade. He hated me. I hated him. I folded the letter up and put it back. If I stopped writing, he eventually would as well. I needed to stop reading, too. I knew I did. It wasn't fair to give up on my end of the letter writing, but still participate in the reading. The part that, despite knowing who had written it, still gave me a thrill. It still had me nodding my head in agreement and smiling in amusement. I did not want to relate to Cade. I did not want to find him funny. I knew the other side of him. And I didn't care why he acted like he did in public. He was old enough not to treat people like garbage, regardless of how he'd been treated by his dad and stepdad. And I was old enough to be honest and tell him that I couldn't write anymore. I took out the 2 letters that were under the desk, dropped them in my bag, and stared at the empty sheet of paper in front of me.
I didn't have to be mean. I didn't want to humiliate him or anything, even though that's exactly what he liked to do to me. I was bigger than that. I wasn't sick, but thank you for the turtle bowl anyway. It was so awfully drawn that it almost crossed the line that made it art again. Almost. I've had a bad couple of days. Tears pricked my eyes as I wrote that last line. I wanted to tell him everything that happened. I wanted to say, first I found out that you were you. Then my brother broke the one thing that might have helped me deal with that fact. Then my best friend and I got into the worst fight of our friendship, so she can't even help me through this. But I couldn't. I wondered what advice he'd give me about my brother, about Isabel. This was Cade Jennings. He had millions of friends, backups for his backups. Isabel was my one. I got in a fight with my best friend. Plus, my little brother broke something very important to me, something I can't replace, and I was so angry that when he tried to hug me this morning to say sorry, I turned my back on him. And I hate myself for doing that, but I'm still angry. This time a tear fell, and I swiped it away quickly. I still felt guilty for turning my back on Jonah that morning. He'd looked so sad, and I couldn't get over my anger to comfort him. And I didn't think I should have been expected to comfort him, though it was obvious my mom thought so by the look she'd given me. That kid got away with everything. Maybe he needed to learn that not everything could be hugged away. See, here I was, again trying to justify how I'd acted that morning. But then I think, it's just a thing, you know? And my brother is a person. A thing is not more important than a person. And you, Cade Jennings, are not more important than my friendship. And I hate you even more for coming between us. That's what I should have written, but I didn't. I finished with... Anyway, I wasn't sick. This wasn't the note I had set out to write. The note I had set out to write was supposed to include the words, I won't be writing to you anymore. This note did not come anywhere close to including those words. Then why was I folding it up and shoving it in place? I just needed one more. This last letter. Then I'd end it officially. I needed to talk to Isabel. We could work through this. We just needed to talk it out more. I'd left too fast the day before, hadn't acknowledged my fault in anything. That's what I realized as I left chemistry. I just needed to tell Isabel that I was sorry for breaking up her and Cade because I was too immature to deal with him back then. And maybe now. And she had every right to not want me to write to him. I hoped that admission would fix everything. Only Isabel wasn't waiting at our meeting spot for lunch. She didn't answer my texts either. I couldn't find her anywhere. She was probably giving me space. I wandered toward the food cart. I'd get some food and find a quiet place in the library to eat and think. David was leaning against a tree to my right, so I cut left and went the long way around. I sensed David had only gone out with me as some sort of favor to Isabel, to keep me from the alternative. I did not need pity dates. There were three lines for the sandwich cart, and I picked the wrong one. I didn't know it at first, but after a few minutes, Cade, Sasha, and crew were in line right behind me. I wanted to leave, but it would be too obvious and weak. I pulled out my phone and pretended to read texts. From behind me came a voice. Nice shorts. That was Sasha. I knew she was referring to mine. They were jeans I had cut off and sewn patches on. I didn't want to turn around and acknowledge that she'd been talking about me, but when Cade laughed, a rush of anger made me turn. He had his arm around Sasha, which was different than past times I'd seen them together, where she was the one hanging on to him. I wondered what changed. I looked him straight in the eyes, like he was the one who made the comment, and said, I'm sorry, what was that? I don't speak jerk. He didn't flinch, just cocked his head and said, And here I thought you were fluent. It shouldn't have hurt. I was used to it. I'd heard much worse. But it did hurt, and I didn't want him to see that. I left the line, not sure where I was going, when I saw Lucas sitting beside his friends, listening to music. Present, but not present. I marched over. When I arrived in front of him, I tugged on the cord to his earphones.
They fell into his lap, and his eyes met mine in surprise. "You want to go do something?" I blurted out.
"What, now?"
"No, Friday. This Friday. The day after tomorrow. There's a concert at the All Ages Club in Phoenix. A new band is playing. You want to go with me?" My nerves were catching up with me, overriding the bravado that had propelled me here. All of Lucas's friends had gone silent and were staring at me. He was staring at me.
"Sure," he said.
"Sure?"
"Yes, I'll go. Should we meet there at 8?
"Okay. Friday at 8. I managed not to let out any form of happy yelp or excited jump as I walked away. Chapter 26. The next morning, Isabel jogged toward me as I walked to first period, determination in her eyes. When she reached me, we both stopped. "Time's up," she said. I smiled, and she handed me some sheets of paper. Had she written me a letter? "What's this?" "The last thing I thought about before I went to bed last night." I unfolded the papers. They were ads, printed off of Craigslist. "Gently used acoustic guitar. In great shape. New strings. Plays perfectly. $150. Or best offer." There were several more similar to the first for different prices. I smiled. Those prices were a lot more doable than $400, but they still seemed impossible. I glanced up at Isabel tentatively, knowing this was her peace offering, feeling bad for not having one of my own. "I'm sorry," we both said at the same time. Then we both smiled. "Let me go first," she said. "I should have told you it was Cade." She looked around and dropped her voice. "I'm so sorry I didn't. It was wrong of me, and I can only imagine how you felt when you learned who you'd been exchanging your thoughts with. And it hadn't even occurred to me that you might have been telling him things that you wouldn't want him to know. I really just thought they were letters about music." "I'm sorry, too. I should have shown you the letters, and then you would have known. And I'm really sorry for getting in between you two when you were together." She shook her head so hard that her hair went one way and then the other. "No, please don't apologize for that. You can't get in between something that isn't already broken." I gave her a hug. She seemed to believe she was sincere, even though I now knew that on some level, she really did think it was my fault. But I'd known that because I knew in some ways it was. "You're the best friend on the planet." I held up the Craigslist ads. "And thank you for this." "I know they aren't your guitar," Isabel said, nodding. "You'd saved up for a great one, but it's something, right?" "Yes, it's perfect. I might be able to afford one like this in a couple weeks." Maybe in time to still make the deadline for the competition, I thought, feeling a rush of hope. If I won that, I'd be able to afford a guitar and more. "Thank you, Iz," she smiled. "You're welcome." I put the papers in my backpack just as the first bell rang. "So, I asked Lucas out." Isabel's eyes widened.
"You did? When?"
"Yesterday," I said, feeling a jolt of nerves. "I asked him to a concert this weekend." I turned to her. "Please tell me that you and Gabriel will go with me."
"Of course!"
Isabel put her arm around me.
"I can't believe you asked him out."
"I can't believe it either. And he said yes." I was still in shock.
"Of course he did," Isabel nudged me. "That's what I've been trying to tell you. You don't need anonymous letter writing when you are Lily Abbott."
I laughed, blushing. "Let's not get carried away."
"So how did that go, anyway?" she asked.
"How did what go?" She shot me a sidelong glance. "You stopped writing Cade, right? I know you. You probably felt the need to explain why in a letter. What did you say?" I wrung my hands together. "I haven't been able to explain why yet, but I will. I will."
"I know you will. I mean, it's Cade Jennings. Mortal enemy number one."
She laughed, gave me another hug, then turned around and headed to her first class.
"See you later."
"Yes, exactly. Mortal enemy number one." "I'm sorry. It sounds like you were worse than sick. You were depressed. Is there anything I can do?"
I haven't had a blow-up with a best friend, but it can't be fun. I'm sure it will work out.
What did your brother break?
I don't have any younger siblings, so I never have to worry about that stuff. I know how kids can be, though. Every year since freshman year, I have to help coach a kids' sports league, volunteer service. The kids can be punks, but I actually really enjoy it. They're fun.
Wait, this started off as me commiserating with you. Kids suck. We should be born adults. Better?
No, but seriously, if I had something irreplaceable and it was broken, I know I'd be mad. It's understandable. Don't beat yourself up about your reaction to your little brother. What was the awesome advice you gave me a few letters back? Hang in there. Chin up. Also, that song you made me listen to a few letters back? Brilliant. Listen to that. This was it. His last letter that I'd read. So it was okay to smile a little at the contents of it, but then remembering his fluent in jerk comment the day before at lunch made me angry again. Then rereading the letter made me soften. This was so messed up. I couldn't help but wonder how he was doing. We'd spent the last few letters talking about me. I wondered if he hoped every holiday season that his dad would call. What an awful feeling. To be abandoned like that by someone who is supposed to love you? And here I was, preparing to abandon him. I shook my head. I hated him for making me feel sorry for him, for showing me a different side to him. I had a feeling that this, the person in the letters, was his real side. But what good was knowing that? He'd never reveal that side in public. I wrote back. You know, your awesome advice was just what I needed. I'm now hanging in there, and the second I put my chin up, I felt 100% better. Who knew those bits of advice actually worked? Also, made is such a strong word. I think I merely suggested that you listen to that song. If my suggestion creates an undying desire to act, that's on you. No, really. I feel a little better today. My friend and I made up this morning. I think we're good. If not all the way, we will be soon, I'm sure. My brother and I are at a standoff. I know I'll soften soon because he's the prince of the house, and as aggravating as he is, I love his face. He still won't admit to what he did, though. I have a hard time with people who do one thing in one situation and a completely different thing in another. Once he aligns himself, I'll feel much better. Okay, so that was a totally passive-aggressive statement, but I couldn't help it. I needed to get that off my chest. I stuck the letter in its home and was actually able to focus on chemistry the rest of class. Chapter 27. Your detention is really making my life hard. Hi, Ashley. Nice to see you, too. I shut the car door and my sister peeled out of the parking lot. What's the hurry? I have to get to work. Then why did Mom pick me up? She has some craft fair out of town. On a Thursday afternoon? I don't know all the details. Ask her. I stopped talking. I could tell my sister was done. I reached up and pulled out the elastic band holding my hair back, then ran my fingers through my waves. Mom said somebody is picking up Wyatt in a little bit for his first club baseball practice, Ashley added, so make sure he eats something right away. Okay. And I guess dinner is whatever you want. That meant cold cereal. Okay. She barely stopped enough for me to climb out of the car before she was off again. Thanks for the ride, I said to her taillights. Inside, I yelled into the TV room, Wyatt, eat! You have baseball practice. Then I went to my room and changed my jeans for a pair of loose shorts, my blouse for a tank top, and my flats for a pair of wool socks that went up to my knees. The socks because I wanted to dress like it was summer, when technically it was heading toward winter. Arizona winter, but still. I felt better until I tripped over the edge of my guitar case. I snarled at it and kicked it all the way under the bed. My door creaked open. Knock, please, I said. When I turned around, I could see Jonah, standing in the small opening. He pushed open the door, but didn't breach the threshold. I should have opened my arms and let him run to me. But I didn't. I offered him a stiff smile. Yes? Can you get me some cereal?
You know how to get your own cereal, Betty. He frowned at the space under my bed.
I didn't do it.
I sighed. Jonah, it's important to take responsibility when we do the wrong thing. If you can't tell me what you did, then how am I supposed to believe that you're sorry?
His bottom lip stuck out.
I'm sorry that you hate me.
I sighed. I'm mad that my guitar is broken, and I'm mad that you touch my things without asking. But I don't hate you. I will never hate you.
I didn't do it!
It was a lost cause. One day the truth would come out, and even then, it wouldn't matter. My guitar would still be broken.
Okay, go eat.
I sat down on my bed and docked my phone on my stereo, turning it up as loud as I could stand. Listening to Blackout didn't necessarily accomplish its intended purpose of relaxing me, because now they made me think of Cade and the letters. But I would not let him ruin my favorite band for me. I turned the music up another notch. I opened my notebook and stared down a sketch I had started in detention. I wasn't sure what I wasn't liking about the design. Jonah appeared at my door, his mouth moving but only music sounding. I switched off the song.
"Someone's at the door," he said.
"Oh, okay." I stood up. I figured it was the mom of one of Wyatt's teammates coming to pick him up. When I rounded the corner, though, Cade Jennings was standing in the open doorway. I'm sure my face fell in shock. Cade's expression was also one of utter surprise. I was so shocked, in fact, that I slammed the door in his face.
What was Cade doing here?
Did he figure out the truth about the letters? My heart was pounding. It was probably too late to go run and change my clothes. He'd already seen me and my knee-high socks. I took one step back, and then I heard Cade knock three times. I tried to pat down my crazy hair once before giving up and opening the door again. Cade's initial look of shock had softened to his normal look of smugness. He took in my hair and outfit.
"Shut up," I said.
"I didn't say anything."
"Your face did."
"Really? And what did my face say?"
"You know what your face said." He laughed a little and shrugged. "Why are you here?" I demanded.
"I'm Wyatt's club coach. We have practice today."
"Oh." Ugh, Cade was my brother's coach? No wonder he'd been surprised to see me. He probably hadn't realized I was Wyatt's sister.
"Okay, just be nice to my brother. Please," I added.
I wouldn't have felt the need to add that if the real-life Cade was like the one in the letters, but he wasn't, so I did.
Cade shrugged with a smirk.
"I will. He can't help who his sister is."
I let out an exasperated sigh. "Right, I'll go get him." I hoped Cade would stay by the door, but instead he followed me into the kitchen. Wyatt wasn't there, though. Only Jonah sat at the table, eating his cereal. I glanced back at Cade and saw that he was looking at the underside of his expensive sneaker. He had clearly stepped on a crunched-up pile of Fruity Pebbles on the floor. Great. I watched as he brushed his foot against the kitchen tile, then leaned against the counter, almost knocking over a bunch of bowls that were still half full of milk. I groaned inwardly. Cade was in my house, judging me all over again with new criteria to add to his list. I stacked the bowls and set them in the sink. Wyatt came running into the kitchen.
"Hi, Coach," he said to Cade. "I'm ready."
"You must be Wyatt."
My brother nodded, then glanced at me.
"What's wrong, Lily?" he asked. "You look mad."
"I do?
Are you still mad that Jonah
ate all the Lucky Charms?" I quickly interrupted. "Yes, I am."
"I didn't eat all the Lucky Charms,"
Jonah protested from the table.
"Then where are they?"
Jonah hummed an "I don't know" and kept eating his cereal. Wyatt scrunched up his nose and was probably about to contradict me when I said, "You better be on your way. You don't want to be late." Cade headed for the door and I stopped Wyatt.
"Hey," I whispered, "don't mention my broken guitar to your coach, okay?"
"Why not?"
Wyatt whispered back. Because if he thought about it too hard, he might figure out that my brother breaking my guitar was too similar to a certain letter he'd read recently.
"Because I don't want him to think badly of Jonah."
"He wouldn't like Jonah if he knew?"
Wyatt asked. "We just don't need to talk badly about Jonah to people."
"Okay,"
Wyatt said, and hurried out the door.
For 2 hours, I waited anxiously for my brother to get home. I tried to distract myself with sewing, and then writing, and then sketching, but each attempt was useless. When I saw Kate's car pull up around 7:30, I opened the front door and stood on the porch as Wyatt came running up. I waited for him to turn and wave to Cade. As soon as Cade drove away, I said, "So, how was it?" Wyatt was beaming.
"It was great! I love baseball. We all got nicknames. Want to know mine?"
Of course Cade would give them all nicknames.
"Yes," I said, already worried.
"Pink Lightning."
"Pink Lightning." Wyatt held up one foot. Across the side of his baseball cleat was a hot pink Nike swoosh. My mom must have picked them up at the thrift store, like she did a lot of things.
"Yeah, the kids thought it was funny when Coach Cade said it. They laughed, but then everyone was cool with it."
I swallowed the anger in my throat for my brother's sake. I did not want him to feel bad. That was a name everyone was going to laugh at every single week and have to keep remembering they were cool with.
"That's a fun nickname," I said at last.
"Yeah, it's good."
"Well, go shower." He started to walk away, then stopped.
"Lily?"
"Wyatt?" He looked down at his feet.
"Never mind."
I frowned. Had Cade made him feel stupid? I didn't want to ask him that if it wasn't true, but I wanted my brother to be able to talk about it with me, for him to know he wasn't alone in that feeling.
"Are you sure you don't need to tell me something?" I asked gently. Wyatt nodded slowly.
"Yeah, I'm sure."
Wyatt may not have needed to talk about it, but I was going to talk about it. With the source. I searched the halls before school on Friday, not sure what Cade's morning routine was. I'd seen his car in the parking lot, so I knew he was here. I usually tried to avoid him. Today would be the opposite. My blood was on fire. Even my eyes were hot. He was standing alone at his locker, staring at it, like he'd forgotten the combination or something. I marched straight up to him and poked his shoulder with my finger. "How dare you?" He turned to me, a tired look on his face.
"What do you want?"
"You named my brother Pink Lightning? Let those kids mock him?" Cade's eyebrows went up.
"Is that what he said? That the kids were mocking him?"
"Yes, he said they laughed at him."
"For 1 second."
"Well, they wouldn't have at all if you hadn't given him that nickname," I spat out.
"Really? That's what you think? Did you see the sneakers your brother was wearing? I knew they would make fun of him. I needed to cut them off at the pass."
"By beating them to it?"
"By making it seem purposeful. Cool, even."
The next words I'd planned, whatever those were, left my brain. I stood staring at Cade.
"You're welcome," he said. "Are we done? Have you rid the world of all your perceived injustice?"
Before I could respond, he started to walk away. Then he turned and added,
"Who bought him those cleats, anyway? They're the person you should be yelling at."
He didn't wait for my answer before walking off again. I growled, then looked at his locker, the one he hadn't opened. Had he forgotten since I interrupted him, or had he gotten something out before I came? If so, why had he been standing there staring at it when I walked up? No, I was not going to worry about Cade. He didn't need my worrying. He took care of himself just fine. Chapter 28. Picturing Cade's face now as I read his letters was both infuriating and oddly satisfying. Infuriating because he was cute and he knew it, which made me angry. Satisfying because it was nice to put a face with words. It made them more personal, even if that face infuriated me. Have you and your brother made up yet? It is almost Thanksgiving. I don't know what that has to do with making up with your brother, but the holidays always seem like a good time to do, well, anything, I guess. It's the 4th of July. Let's eat and get the family together. It's Easter. We better make up with a neighbor who ruined our fence. It's President's Day. Let's buy a couch.
My mom actually did buy a couch last President's Day. I didn't even know we needed a couch. I really think she bought it just because it was a holiday. Anyway, I'm going off the path here. My point? It's Thanksgiving. Almost. Time to do that thing you've been meaning to do. I'll do my thing, too. And that's how he ended the letter. In that vague way that left me dying to know what his thing was, what had he been meaning to do? I bit my lip. Hadn't I sworn I wasn't going to write him back? But what was one more exchange, really, in the scheme of things? What thing have you been meaning to do? Listen to the entire Pink Floyd library in one sitting? I've been meaning to do that. Maybe that needs to be my Thanksgiving thing, because my brother and I have sort of made up. Or at least I've accepted that he'll never admit to what he did, but he is my brother. So yeah, all that's left in the makeup is the official hug it out. That has to be part of every makeup because hugs are full of magical healing powers. Also, I didn't know we were supposed to buy couches on President's Day. My family has some catching up to do. Speaking of catching up, how are you? Everything okay? I tucked the letter into place, angry at myself. I felt like some addict who couldn't kick a habit, and this made me even angrier at Cade. But this was the last day before Thanksgiving break. A week-long break would surely cure me of my need. It would be like a detox. An even better detox, I thought with a smile, would be going out with Lucas. In about 8 hours, I'd be doing just that. Day 4 of detention. Only 6 more days to go. It hadn't been too bad so far, I thought, as I opened the door to start my time. And then I walked in and saw Sasha sitting in the seat I normally sat in toward the back of the room. Of course she'd steal my seat. It's what she did. I wondered what she'd done to land in detention today. She should have been the one here all along, considering I was fulfilling her sentence. I claimed a seat on the opposite side of the room. There was a pretty senior girl sitting next to Sasha. I didn't know her name, but the two of them were chattering away. I tried to drown them out by sketching a shirt design into my book. Shirts were much harder to sew than skirts, but I was ready to try my hand at it. I'd come up with a cute, wide-necked crop top idea. I had pulled out my sewing machine the night before and found the best material in my scraps. I just needed to figure out how to piece it all together. I was doing an excellent job in my goal of shutting out Sasha's loud voice when I heard her speak his name. Cade. My ears pricked up. Are you and Cade together now? The senior girl asked Sasha. I was curious about that as well. My pencil paused on the bow I was drawing. Yes, Sasha said happily. How'd that happen? The other day, out of the blue, he asked me out. It was adorable. Why? Why what? Why did he ask you out? Why not? You should be asking what took him so long. He finally realized what he was missing. I continued drawing. Fine. Great. Sasha and Cade were together. The world was now well-ordered. Cade had found his perfect match. Chapter 29. The band, Frequent Stops, was loud, but awesome. I would definitely be downloading some of their songs when I got home. I wondered if Cade had ever heard of them before. I'd have to write to him and tell him to add Frequent Stops to his playlist. No, I wouldn't do that. What was wrong with me? I glanced at Lucas. His club wardrobe wasn't much different than his school one, minus the earbuds, jeans, and a tee. We'd been here for an hour. Gabriel and Isabel had driven down to Phoenix with me, Isabel talking the entire time, seeming to know how nervous I was. The nerves were mostly unfounded. Lucas was waiting for me outside, with his adorable shaggy long hair, and he'd given me a slow smile. I'd introduced him to Isabel and Gabriel, and we'd all gone inside together, a red underage bracelet attached to each of our wrists. Now we all stood 15 feet back from the stage, a little too close to the speakers to hold a normal conversation. I told myself that I hadn't led us there on purpose. I'd prove it by talking. Do you like the band? I yelled to Lucas. What? He put a hand to his ear and leaned closer. Do you like the band? He nodded. Do you listen to a lot of this kind of music?
What?
Is this your taste in music? I asked when he leaned in again, his shoulder brushing mine.
I like variety, he replied.
I wonder how similar our playlists are.
What?
Never mind. Maybe I had placed us here on purpose. Isabel tapped my arm, then mimed drinking from a cup. Getting water. Be right back. Okay. Lucas said something I couldn't understand. Maybe we both needed to take a cue from Isabel and start miming. What? I leaned close to him this time.
Do you want something to drink, too?
He asked, gesturing toward where Isabel and Gabriel were walking toward the bar behind us. It was a small crowd tonight, like it usually was with lesser-known bands. The lead singer on stage was wailing into the microphone, sweat dripping down his temple. I'm okay. Maybe when they break, I told Lucas. Lucas either heard me that time or understood my hand motions, because he turned his attention back to the front as well. My ears were still ringing and my chest still buzzing, even though we were all outside now, on the far end of a parking lot across the street. The night was calm around us. Concerts always left me buzzing in the best ways. I wasn't someone who needed to be up there in the spotlight, performing. If I could just hear my words being sung, my chords being strummed by someone breathing life and passion into my ideas, I would be so happy. We had stopped by Lucas's car, a navy Ford Focus. Not the car I would have imagined him in. He seemed more like a beat-up Corolla guy to me. Not that most people I knew matched their cars. I drove my mom's minivan most of the time. Okay, well, that kind of fit. Isabel plugged and unplugged her ears several times with her pointer fingers. They need to issue earplugs on our way in the door. Her voice was loud, her ears probably ringing.
You sound like a grandma,
Gabriel teased, but he was speaking extra loud, too. I giggled.
That was great, Lucas said, his crooked smile on.
I smiled. Amazing. Have you heard them before?
No, I think they're local. Pretty new.
Now we can say we knew them way back when, once they get big.
Yes, we'll be smug about it too, Lucas said, and I laughed.
Gabriel nodded.
Maybe by then, Lily will be just as big and she can be equally smug.
Lucas spun his keys once around his finger, then stopped it with his palm.
Are you in a band?
He asked me. No, not even close. She plays the guitar and writes music, Isabel put in. I shuffled my feet. I used to. Well, I tried to, but not anymore. My guitar is broken. Lucas tipped his head to one side.
Is it fixable?
Not sure. It's splintered pretty bad.
I know a girl at the music store who does guitar repairs. I'll get you her info.
Really? That would be amazing. Thank you. Lucas nodded.
A broken guitar is the worst.
I paused, vowed to agree, when I processed what he said. Wait, do you play?
I do.
Cool, I said. Really cool, Isabel said, giving me a big smile.
I'll try to get her info for you this week,
Lucas told me.
The store might not be open, with Thanksgiving and everything.
That's fine. After this week, we'll be good.
I'll send you a message if I get it.
Like, in the sky? I asked with a laugh.
No, like, a text,
he said, confused. It was a joke. Airplanes? Sales? Never mind. Yes, a text would be great. Stop referring to your letters like everyone should understand what you're talking about, Lily. We exchanged numbers, then he unlocked his car and held out one arm. I wasn't sure what the one arm was offering, but I slid in for a side hug. Thanks for coming. That was fun.
It was. See you later.
When he left, I squeezed Isabel's hand and she squeezed mine back. I'd gone on a date with Lucas, and we'd exchanged numbers and hugged. It had been perfect. I could finally move on from my pen pal. Chapter 30.
Why is he in the house?
My dad asked, stepping over the rabbit. Ashley and I were in the living room, watching a documentary on fire ants, her idea, not mine, that I was finding oddly fascinating. My mom, who sat at the table, stringing beads onto a necklace, said, "He needs some exercise. If he had a bigger cage."
She gave Dad her pleading eyes.
I'm not building a mansion for a rabbit.
Did I say mansion? Girls, did I say mansion? I held up my hands. Leave us out of this. The rabbit is evil. I'm on Dad's side.
There are no sides,
Mom and Dad both said at the same time. Ashley looked at me, raised her eyebrows, then said, So we don't have to vote anymore?
Ever?
My dad laughed.
Those are just fun and games. Get ready to vote on the best pie in 2 days. I've perfected my recipe.
Ashley stood up. Come on, Lily. Let's take a walk. But I don't want to. The fire ants. I pointed to the TV. She pulled on my arm. Come on. Fine, we're going for a walk. We were halfway down the block before she said, Why did you throw away the newspaper clipping? What? I asked, even though I had heard her perfectly. The one I saw on your wall for weeks? I didn't throw it away, I argued. It's still in the corner of our room somewhere, in a tight, crumpled up ball. Ashley bumped my hip. I thought you were finally going to get over your fear and share your songs. I was, but my guitar is broken, so I can't now. I didn't mention that Lucas might know someone who could fix it. I didn't want to get my hopes up just in case that didn't come to anything.
Get a new guitar, Ashley said, as we rounded the corner.
You know I can't afford that.
Rent a guitar.
She tapped a mailbox as we passed it, like it had taken her side in the argument.
That's what I thought. You jumped on the first excuse available to get out of the competition.
I scowled in annoyance. Ashley, my guitar is broken. The thing I have to use to write half of the song, I think that's a pretty good excuse.
Fine. If that's the only reason, you can share the words to the song you've been working on with a family on Thanksgiving.
I paused, then said, Fine, I will.
Good. Grandma and Grandpa are going to be there, too.
I know. And Aunt Lisa and her kids, and Uncle James and his kids.
I know.
Was she trying to talk me out of this or just make me admit I was terrified?
And Mark.
I know. Wait, who?
The guy from work. We're getting serious.
Really? My sister never got serious with anyone, so that surprised me. The guy that saw food on your teeth? She shoved my arm.
Shut up.
I laughed. Just kidding. That's cool, Ash. So I invited him over for Thanksgiving dinner. I nodded. A boyfriend at Thanksgiving would be new. If you like this guy, keep him far away from our house, I said, especially on holidays. She laughed, like I was joking, but then her laughter trailed off into a worried expression.
Oh no, you're right. I've made a mistake.
I nodded. It's not too late to tell him to stay home.
Our family can all be normal for one day, right?
Ashley asked hopefully. That won't be hard. We've been normal for a stretch of time before. She sounded doubtful. It's your funeral.
It'll be fine. She waved a hand in the air. I'll be there to run interference.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Do not say things like that when he's over. I can't quote the Wizard of Oz? Everyone knows the Wizard of Oz. And if he doesn't, then you should be glad that we found out so early in the relationship. She put her hand to her forehead.
You're right. He needs to stay home.
Exactly. He'll stay home, but you're still sharing your song on Thanksgiving.
You did what?
I was pouring hot gravy into the dish and nearly spilled it on the counter. A little splattered on my wrist, and I wiped it quickly before it burned me.
Please, Lily, Mom said with a sigh. Let's not get dramatic about this. I thought you knew him.
I do know him, and that's why I don't want him over here for Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, your brother invited him, and he accepted.
Ashley popped an olive in her mouth. Wyatt invited him to Thanksgiving dinner? Weird.
See, it's weird, I said. Just call Cade and tell him there was a change of plans.
Because Cade Jennings, my enemy, my former secret pen pal, could not show up at my house for Thanksgiving.
Who's Cade?
Aunt Lisa asked, a baby on her hip while she stirred yams. She and her three kids, along with my grandparents, had arrived an hour earlier. My uncle, his wife, and their four kids had arrived the night before, and we were still waiting on my mom's other sister and Cade.